The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple, Jesus said to the large crowds following him. His hard words here have the church growth gurus scratching their head, no doubt. Everybody knows harsh, offensive words are not how to build and maintain that benchmark of success, large crowds. Apparently, Jesus didn't get the memo. In fact, we know from the reaction of his followers later on that they were indeed offended by his words and turned away. So what is this offensive cross of which Jesus speaks? Well, to answer that question, perhaps it will help to say what it is not. The cross of which Jesus spoke is not a grudging obligation to come to church while the rest of the world gets to go play on Sunday morning. The cross is not behaving properly while the rest of the world gets to live it up. The cross is not even following Jesus' example by willingly giving up all for the sake of others. In short, the cross is not keeping the law in order to be rewarded by God. So what is this cross that Jesus talks about? Well, the answer is straightforward. Before it was a fashion accessory, the cross was a Roman torture device designed to do one thing, put people to death. And with that, the offensiveness of Jesus' words comes to light. Jesus isn't trying to start a successful and vibrant movement. No. He's killing people. Jesus isn't giving people their best life now. He's taking life in this old world away. And when Jesus gets on one's trail, a person can't win. In the face of Jesus' words, a person is left like a fellow who began to build but wasn't able to finish. Kind of like the Manning Diner. From the signs all over Clarendon County in the nice parking lot, you think that that was a happening place. But you will starve to death trying to get bacon and eggs out of that place. Trust me. Indeed, in the face of Jesus' words, a person is like a king going into battle that is outnumbered by the enemy. And he's calling for a truce even before it starts. And just look what Jesus does here. He takes away the law as the way to be right with God. The fourth commandment specifically says to love and honor one's parents, not hate them. So to take up one's cross and follow Jesus by hating one's parents is to move outside the law. Even more, the summation of the law is to love the neighbor and to treat him or her like you want to be treated. And believe me, there is no bigger neighbor in need of love and care than spouse, children, and siblings. So to take up one's cross and follow Jesus by hating the neighbor is also to move outside the law. And then Jesus' words get even more personal as they become a personal attack on would-be followers who are told to hate their life on this planet. And by the way, that hatred extends all the way to one's stuff. Everything that one has worked so hard for, just give it all away, Jesus says. But perhaps you see now why Jesus calls his word a cross. His words are indeed deadly. Taking away the law as the way to earn salvation, and taking away one's life until one is left with nothing except Jesus' words. But hear me. Hear me when I say the cross of Jesus' words is the best news ever. Hear me say that being put to death by Jesus' words is truly good news. And I say this because we all have three enemies that stand against us. These enemies are our sin and the sin of others that we suffer, our death and the death of those we love, and the devil, who continuously accuses us and others of things done and left undone. And though mother, father, husband, wife, children, and friends are good and worthy of love and dedication, and though our stuff and the things of this world are blessings to be used and enjoyed both for our benefit and the benefit of others, None of it can defeat sin, death, and the devil. And though it hurts our pride and impinges on our self-worth and destroys any reward from God for all our work to cultivate virtue and avoid vice, Jesus' word alone is our hope. Jesus' word saves us by putting the things that don't save in their proper place, that is, keeping them in this world, and then giving us what does save, mercy and peace with God. So that leaves just one thing left to do, and that's to hoist you on your cross. Knowing full well all you've done and left undone and your inability to change any of it, Jesus has made a decision about you. He didn't wait for you to decide, and he didn't even ask your opinion. He simply chosen you. And that's why I say to you that you are forgiven unconditionally by the Father for Christ's sake. Amen.